John 10, verses 1 through 10. We'll actually talk a little bit beyond verse 10 in a minute. Question. At what point, or for whatever reason, did we decide that everything that is good for us has to be boring or painful or taste awful? Somehow, if you look at our culture, if it's good for us, it has to taste like castor oil. And if you're not old enough to know what that is, we'll put NyQuil in there because maybe you know it. Personally, I have trouble understanding why so many think in the world, and at times why so many within the church act like Christianity is awful. Like it is depressing, like it is joyless, like coming to Christ is the end of life. I kind of like it. I kind of enjoy the life that we get to live. I've been super excited about this. I put it on my list a long time ago and it fit today, so I had to come back to it. I'm going to be honest. I love the peanut butter box commercial. And Chester's nodding with Ralph and Giorgio. Look, if I'm on my headphones in the shop, I'm laughing. I enjoy it so much. If I'm walking through the house, I will backtrack to watch it on the television. I don't have any idea why. But guess what? I'm not the only one. I went looking for a picture of it, and I figured out that there is a hashtag Happy Peanut Butter Box Day. And you can buy shirts and hats and totes and backpacks that say the peanut butter box is here. Now, if you've missed it, Ralph, the big one in the picture, the St. Bernard's, looking out the window when the delivery man drops off the Chewy box. Chewy's where you get dog food. Chewy's where you get pet medications. Chewy's where you buy leashes and harnesses and things like that. And there's several different versions of the commercial, but the one that's running right now, hey, Giorgio, the peanut butter box is here. And Giorgio is the realist in the group. Ralph, that's the Chewy pharmacy box with our flea and tick meds. It's not peanut butter. I know, but every time the box comes, we get peanut butter. That's because mom takes the meds out of the box. Am I getting in trouble at home when I call my wife, my dog's mom? And puts them in the peanut butter. Ralph goes, sounds like we're getting peanut butter to me. He tries to explain further, but Ralph starts singing, the peanut butter box is here, the peanut butter box is here, the peanut butter box is here. And that cracks me up. But the thought I had was, Ralph doesn't care that the meds are good for him. All he knows is they taste good because of the peanut butter. And he looks forward to it. And so he's taking the medicine that's good for him, and yet he's enjoying it. Peanut butter can do that. Peanut butter can make absolutely anything good. So, but here's the thought. It is possible for something to taste good, to be enjoyable, to even be fun, and it still be good for us. That's the case in the peanut butter box commercial, and that's the case with Christianity. I can live a fulfilled life, a life focused on Jesus, a life of obedience, a life, even the word is used, of servitude to Christ, and still enjoy it. It should be enjoyable. In fact, if we're miserable in our Christianity, number one, we're terrible walking advertisements for Christ. Number two, if we're not enjoying the blessings in Christ Jesus, there's something wrong with us. This, listen to me, this is the good life. There's a reason our world walks around so miserable all the time. It's because they're missing out. And I get that straight from John chapter 10. And so let's go back to where Dustin was reading for us, starting with verse 1. Notice, first of all, that he goes right back to where we were this morning, that there is a choice. There is a choice in who we follow. There is a choice between the thief and the shepherd. There is a choice between what the thief offers, to steal from us, to kill us, to destroy us, or there is the choice of life that the shepherd offers. And it involves us choosing whose voice we're going to hear, to whom we're going to respond. And then we get to verse 10, and Jesus says, look, it's not just life that I'm offering you. It's abundant life. It is good life. It is the life that has real value to it. I am giving up my life to protect you, to provide for you, to serve you. The Son of God even said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And He's still serving us in so many ways 2,000 years later. Life under the care of the Good Shepherd, when we do it right, is good. It's abundantly good. It is so good that when Paul is torn between dying and going on and staying around here, as much as he would love that next reward, he said, you know what? It's all right for me to stay here. It's good for me and it's good for you. It's a lot more profitable, so I'm going to stay for a while longer. Yeah, it comes with boundaries. But it also comes with family. It comes with care. It comes with love. It comes with provision. And as we talked a while back, not all boundaries are bad. They're actually good for us. They protect us. Flip over to Acts chapter 2 and keep your finger there in John 10. We'll be back in a minute. Acts chapter 2, the first sermon after the resurrection. The church is being established and 3,000 are baptized at the very beginning. And they're from all over the world. They're from every nation under the sun. And they stay in Jerusalem instead of going back home for a while. That's where the apostles are. That's where the teaching is. Verse 42 says they were continually together. They were listening to the apostles teach. They were fellowshipping. They were breaking bread. They were praying together. But they were constantly, and we'll see the phrase in a minute, day by day, they were constantly together. Verse 43, they were in awe. And so there is a measure of surprise and excitement that comes with Christianity. Verse 44, there was a sense of belonging. They were there together. They had everything in common. They're taking care of each other. So verse 45, their needs are being met. Verse 46, we get more togetherness mentioned, and gladness. Does it sound like they're enjoying who they are? Does it sound like they're enjoying what they're doing? Enough so that they haven't gone back home to their jobs. Enough so that they haven't gone back to their other lives. They are staying in Jerusalem to get more of this. To be together more. To grow together more. To learn more. Verse 47, because of those things, they find favor with the people. So is it possible that maybe we're not in favor with our world as much as we could be because we act like we're miserable? Oh, and they were growing. So is it possible that we don't grow as much as we know we should because we look miserable? Nobody wants what we have. Good things in Acts chapter 2. Good life. Good reputation. And it is attractive. Christianity should be attractive to our world. We've been talking in our Sunday morning Bible class about the fact that we should not have to market programs. We should not have to market ourselves like a business in this world. We're supposed to be the marketing tool by the very way we carry ourselves, by the way we enjoy our Christianity and the way we model Christ. Really quickly, back to this morning. What were the first two definitions of a fulfilled life or a fulfilling life? Sandy's flipping back. She's looking those definitions up. She wrote them down this morning. Satisfying. Satisfying because, narrowed it down a little bit, developing one's ability and character. This, what we do as a family unit, and it's worship, but it's much more than that. It's everything we do as Christians. Is the satisfying life, the fulfilling life, because it is good for us, because it is enjoyable, because it pushes us to reach our potential. And then we feel like we have value and we feel growth taking place. What is better, and answer this seriously to yourself, what is better than being here together? Lord, what could possibly be going on at this exact moment somewhere else in this world that's better than us seeing each other? I don't know. And so it makes me, where is everybody else? Why? What is more moving than watching each other grow? Greta and I had the same reaction last Sunday night. Randy got up to lead a song for the first time ever. And Kim said, elbowed me. She goes, you got to apologize to him. You look like you're laughing. Because I went, and then tears started flowing. I was so moved by the growth. And Greta said the same thing. She said, when Randy got through and smiled, she said it broke loose. What is more moving than watching a new Christian go from being a babe and a consumer, as we've talked about, to being a provider for the rest of us and being mature? If it moves me to tears, it's moving. What is more fun than family? I'm going to give you an example. It's July 4th. We are at Johnny and Cindy's, and it is all of us, okay? So basically a group like this, and it is raining buckets. So the 4th of July and raining buckets, they really don't go together. It's kind of hard to be outside and grill out. It's kind of hard to be out. My kids still talk about this particular 4th of July because we played kickball in the rain, and we slipped. And we slided, and every time you went to kick the ball, you were in danger of breaking a hip because several of us were over 50. When you took off the first, it happened to be the fence where the horses were, so you had to stop running halfway there and tiptoe so that you didn't slide through the fence. And we laughed, and we giggled, and we had an absolute ball. Where else do you do that? When my nanny passed away, it broke my heart. I was so close to her. And yet we laughed at that funeral. And And we laughed at the meal afterwards because of all of the family-related fun in our history. Think about us here as this family. If you were blind and you walked into that building on Sunday night that we're doing Dots, you would think we're having an all-out hoedown. All right, that there is food being served and there are party games being played. And we're sitting around working. But the joy of being together and laughing and picking on each other, as Austin said the other day, and making jokes, it sounds like a full-blown party. When we get together to clean the building, it takes us all day long to do nothing because we enjoy being together so much, we don't get nearly as much cleaning done as we would if we just came to clean. We don't do that if we don't like each other. That makes this the good life. That makes this enjoyable and satisfying. And look, I know I'm me, so that's a little different than anybody else in the world. But personally, I look forward to being here. I look forward to Dot Night. I look forward to Fellowship Sunday and prayer breakfast and whatever else is going on. Johnny Hannah, we've built a whole lot of ramps in this county. And there are times we could have built a ramp in 2 or 3 hours and been done and got out of there, and it took lunch and an afternoon break and a morning break and a little bit of everything else because we were having a good time. That's the good life. Listen, it's not that my life is boring, that it's not full, that it's not busy. I'm sort of like Tennessee Ernie Ford in the song 16 Tons. Remember, he said, if St. Peter calls me, I can't go because I owe my soul to the company store. If it were possible to prolong life until I get everything done on my list, I will never die. Because when I mark off one thing at the top of the list, there are three more at the bottom that magically appear. Okay, so it's not that my life's boring. It's not that it's life not busy. But in the midst of all of that that's going on, to me personally, this is it. This is the best part of it. This is the good stuff. It's the pinnacle of life. It's where our true joy comes from. It's where our fulfillment is found. And it's good for me. And yet it doesn't taste bad. It doesn't taste like Brussels sprouts. We had that discussion at lunch. Look, I've tried. Even peanut butter can't help Brussels sprouts. I'm sorry. My niece was even telling me this is like, no, there's no way to cook them. So let's go back to John chapter 10. Verse 10, abundant life. I love the sound of that. I'm just not going to let you live. I'm going to give it to you hand over fist. And verse 11, I'm going to protect you so that you can enjoy that life. Verse 14 and 15, I'm going to provide you intimacy with me and my Father. And it's going to be the same type of intimacy that I have with my Father. Oh, and then by the way, it's all going to be family, so that intimacy is going to go this way too. And it's going to constantly grow. He's talking about the Gentiles, but they're going to be sheep that are coming from all over the world. And now we can tie it to this morning, verses 17 through 18. This fulfilled life, this rewarded life. My page flipped. For this reason the Father loves me. Why is that, Jesus? Because I lay down my life that I may take it again. My Father loves me because I'm fulfilling the plan down to the last detail. No one's taking it away from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Now you think about that as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, take this cup away from me. I don't want to do this. John 10, out of the mouth of the Savior, I have the right to get up and walk away from it. The Father gave me that command. And then I'm going to do it anyway. So we go back to the cross this morning. It is finished. If I'll stay in the plan of God, I will get the absolute most out of this life. And in the end, it'll be fulfilled. One more tie for you really quickly. John chapter 18. Jesus is standing before Pilate, and Pilate says, "What is truth?" And as you're reading that as a Christian, everything in your being wants to shout, "It's right there! Truth is standing in front of you! Open your eyes and see it!" So what is life? What is good life? What is a fulfilled life? It's been right in front of us the whole time. It's just up to us to open our eyes and see it. And it goes all the way back. Let's pick up these other things. Psalm 23. That shepherd says, or David says what about his shepherd? Quiet waters and green pastures and protection and a banquet overflowing. Does it sound like the shepherd's giving the good stuff to us? Yeah, the very best. If I want a good life, a life that I can enjoy and make the absolute most out of in this world, why not go to the source that has offered that abundant life, that satisfying life, that what's more pleasant than laying down in green grass beside quiet waters? It's when we go outside of that life gets bitter. It's when we go outside of that it's disappointing and miserable. And I said this has been in front of us the whole time. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, stay where I put you. Stay in your lane. And do what I tell you to do. And you know what, Adam and Eve? You'll live forever. You'll be happy. You'll be protected. And you'll be in this perfect garden. But now if you eat the fruit, you're going to die, and you're going to worry, and you're going to be afraid. And they eat the fruit, and they begin spiritually dying, and Jesus dies that traumatic death because of them. And the minute God appears, worry has entered the garden, and they are hiding because they're afraid. Good life, fulfilling life, chasing our own dreams, disappointment. Jesus told Peter that if we'll stay in our lane, if we'll follow the plan, that we get more in this life than we can ever imagine. Give up a house, I'll make sure you have plenty more to stay in. Give up your family, I'll make sure you got plenty more. And then we get life eternal. Sounds like peanut butter to me. And to me, as far as going to the cabinet, does not get any better than peanut butter. And as far as life, it does not get any better than this. And so number one, if you're not part of it, the gospel is all, the invitation to come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, is always open. And you can come and accept the good life through obedience to the gospel tonight. Secondly, if you're already a child of God and this isn't the best part of your life, you need to make some resolutions or some changes or some repentances or whatever it is that's keeping this from being the fulfilling, joyful part of your life as we stand and sing.